But another image that may be a bit closer to home for us today is that of the marketplace. Even back then, people got into debt. It was a problem then, it's a problem today. But what people did then, if they got into debt, was very different. At times, if they got into enough debt, they would have to offer themselves as slaves. This is different from the kind of slavery that we've experienced in our world in the last, 200 years. That's a very different kind of slavery than what you'll read about in the Bible, when people are forcibly taken from their land and brought to another place to be slaves. But the kind of slavery we're talking about today is when somebody who gets into such debt, they offer themselves as a slave. And sometimes the Bible uses the word slave or employee or servant interchangeably. But this is somebody who's so bankrupt they're offering themselves. Not just, like we would today, offering ourselves to an employer. I'll work for you 8 hours a day and you pay me a salary. No, I offer you myself. My complete life is yours because I can't keep going like this. At times, somebody standing in the marketplace offering themselves as a slave could be redeemed. That's what would happen when somebody would come along and have pity on them and say, well, how much do you owe? Why are you offering yourself as a slave? They'd say, well, I owe this amount. And the person who wanted to redeem them could pay that amount. And rather than taking them on as a slave, they could set them free from slavery by paying the ransom. Again, that's the origin of that term. Or blood money. We also have that word redemption in our language as well, right? Redemption at once can mean something like the Shawshank Redemption, somebody who is broken, redeeming themselves. But it also has that marketplace connection, right? If you have a gift card, you can go redeem it at the store. It's a piece of plastic, but you can redeem it for value. So we still use those words today. In a similar way for us, Jesus paid the price for us. He paid the ransom to redeem us because we were offering ourselves as slaves to sin. But Jesus released us from slavery, not to become his slaves in a negative way, but rather to become his slaves in a very positive way, as we've spoken about as disciples of people following Jesus. Jesus redeemed us from slavery to sin so we could instead bind ourselves to him and his good plans for our lives rather than sin's terrible ones. He sets us free from the power of sin to experience true freedom following him. Doesn't mean we'll never sin again, but it means that sin's ultimate hold over us is broken. It won't have the last word. Another image a little closer to us today is that of the court of law. We read in the Bible that through the death of Jesus, we have been justified. Justification is a legal term, not one everybody runs into, but those who are in the law world know that justification is a term that's still used today. Because if you go to court and you are acquitted, then you're considered to be justified. Even if something happened, you can be justified in your actions, where the court declares that even though something happened that we'd prefer not happening, somebody was killed, or somebody was hurt, somebody was defrauded. If the court so chooses, the court can declare that person to still be justified in what they did, legally. And so we can see that play out in a very particular way. If we imagine two young men who grew up together, went to elementary and high school together, and they were the best of friends. But after high school, they went their separate ways, and one went on to become a high court judge, went through law school and everything, and now presides over an important court. And the other one became a criminal and lived a life of crime, and eventually they came together one day in unfortunate circumstances because the criminal was accused of crimes and standing before this judge. And the question, of course, is, how does the judge react to that? He looks down at his friend and has compassion. This is a friend of mine. We grew up together. We made promises to care for each other. That's important. I'm not going to throw away, and go back on everything I said. I care about this person. So I need to be a friend. But I'm also a judge, and I've taken vows to uphold the law to make sure that justice is done. And so you'd think that this judge would have an impossible dilemma. How could he at once be both a friend and a judge. You'd think he has to give up one or the other. But the story goes that the judge hears the case. Has to, he's a judge. Has to make sure he hears it out. And here's the case, the man is clearly guilty. There's no way around it. These things happened and they were wrong, they were illegal. Justice must be wrought. And so he slams down his gavel and declares him to be guilty. And I don't know what he did wrong, but let's say there's a hefty fine involved. Then he steps down from the judge's bench, takes off his robes, dressed like a regular man now, and he says, let me write that check for you. I'm going to set you free. I'll pay the price for you. That's an illustration of what Jesus has done for us. Our sin, our intentional alienation from God, the ways we've perpetuated that over the years, and the way it was brought on in the first place, they all need to come up against judgment. God can't simply ignore that we've intentionally broken our relationship with Him, hurt others whom He loves, and hurt Him directly, and hurt ourselves even. That's not something that can be brushed aside. It has to come up against justice. There is a price to be paid. And in this case, the price to be paid is death. God gave us life. We rebelled against Him. That means we must not want His gift of life. And separation from God for eternity must be what we're after. And yet, even though God declares that to be our rightful sentence, He then goes and takes that punishment for us, goes and pays the price that we needed to pay, a price that was far too high for us to pay, but He takes it for us anyway. So we can, again, walk free, justified, even though things happen. He still declares us to be justified, all through His own gift of grace. Well, thanks for exploring this topic with us today as we try to see how Jesus' death actually matters, the difference it made, particularly using the imagery of Jesus paying the price. Yesterday, we talked about Jesus as a sacrifice, and so today I want to bring all that together in one question for you to think about and discuss with people in your life. Which image, the temple, the marketplace, the courtroom, is most helpful for you? Why? And also, please read John chapter 19. And as you do, reflect, what price did Jesus pay here? Was it for Himself or for others? And how can you tell? Have a great discussion and great reading. I'll see you tomorrow.